Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Lieber. Ben, how you been?
Zach, I've been great, man. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Just take me through how you processed that game on Sunday. I saw one video of you today jumping up and down on the sideline like a maniac, and it was awesome. But how'd you process that one?
Well, I think I kind of have to echo a lot of what the players were saying after the game. They were like, hey, man, we have no words. We have no words to describe what just happened. And that's kind of the truth. I mean, it's, you know, was it an awesome game? Yes. Was it wild? Yes. Was it straight bananas? Yes. Like every emphatic word you can come up with, it's like it almost hits it, but not quite. There's just not a word that I think that's strong enough to describe the ups and downs, the ebbs and flows. You know, there that one point in time, you know, when we didn't score right at basically the 6-inch line, it was defeat. You know, you were defeated. You were like, okay, well, let's start thinking about what this almost win kind of means for this team. And then all of a sudden, the next series of events is just bananas, and we win the game. You know.
Yeah, when Jefferson makes that catch, I'm like, okay, they're going to go then get down the field and get a touchdown. Then you're at the 1-yard line. Even after Dalvin Cook drops the ball, I go, oh, yeah, they'll go get that play. And once they don't get it, I'm like, oh, yeah, the game's over. And then when the fumble occurred, I go, oh, maybe it's a safety, who knows? And then when it was a touchdown, like, that was the craziest part of that game. There were so many moments. The Jefferson catch, I thought it was picked at first. The fumble, I thought maybe it was a safety, then it's a touchdown. It's like you weren't even able to see any of these crazy plays actually happen.
I know. Well, the funny thing is, the Justin Jefferson 4th-and-18 catch.
Yeah.
I was, you know, kind of right there, maybe 10 yards away from him, and I knew it was a great catch. I was kind of like, you know, in that moment, just celebrating the fact that like he caught it. And then it wasn't until after the game that I saw the replay, and like I didn't realize even in real time because it happened so fast that, man, the defender had, you know, 10 fingers on the ball at one point in time. Like he had it, the ball secured. And I don't know how he came down with that. So I was more in awe after the fact, because, you know, everything just kind of happened so accelerated. It was the catch, and then it was like, you know, the offense running up to the line of scrimmage, and then it was like, holy cow, I can't believe we just caught that, and where we moved the chains. Like, all of that was just happening so fast. I didn't get a full appreciation until after the game of just how incredible that catch was.
Ben Lieber here with us. This is a really likable team, and I'm saying that from afar. You're tapped in, but just from afar, having no dog in the fight, this is an easy team to root for this year in Minnesota.
Yeah, you know, that's not the first time I've ever heard anybody really say that about a team. So I do appreciate that. I do think I feel the same way. There's a lot of likable characters and players on the team, you know, starting with, you know, the GM and the head coach. They are really genuine, nice guys, you know, and they kind of built a staff that reflects all of that. You know, the staff is really easy to work with. They're just a bunch of normal guys that obviously are football guys, but they're not, you know, they don't have this air of, you know, ego and, you know, this bravado that, you know, I think some old school coaches kind of walk around with. So they're all very approachable. The players, the same thing, you know, starting with Zadarius, you know, adding him in the offseason, he's been nothing but just a ball of sunshine. Like every time he's around the media, he's just big smiles and he's gregarious, and he and Daniil are pounding around trying to create this dynamic duo, and it's kind of working out right now. So Kirk, obviously, with Kirko, you know, it's kind of taken the whole NFL by storm. I mean, they're just having a lot of fun. And I do think that they are just a likable team and an easy team to root for.
Are you going to start dressing up like how Kirk Cousins dresses up after a game?
No. The funny thing is,
come on, you know, Ben. I saw you TikToking when the pandemic started. I think you could dress, you know, put the chains on and start taking your shirt off and dancing like Kirk Cousins.
Zach, I gotta admit, man, I didn't realize that he had that good of a body. I'm like, you know, I've been out of the league for over 10 years now. Like, I don't have a body like that. So Kirk can pull it off way better than I can right now.
And it seems like in that locker room, people know what the narrative is about Kirk Cousins. And I've said it before. I think he's a good quarterback, a very good quarterback. Come postseason time, we'll see in put-up or shut-up moments if he's going to be consistently able to deliver. This team's really rallied around the way that their quarterback is talked about, though.
Yeah, they really have. I think, you know, internally I've heard for a number of years that they know that, you know, Kirk is not exactly the persona that everybody thinks that he is. You know, this guy that, you know, basically drives a van at times and it's kind of leans into this dorky dad character. You know, he does have some of that to him, but, you know, they've seen a different side of him in the locker room. And I think this year, now that he has full ownership of the team and they're not walking on eggshells, you know, they're just letting Kirk just, you know, let it fly. And they've embraced it. They obviously encourage it, which is a lot of fun. But they also know that he's just a genuine guy that is, you know, has his silly moments, can be a dorky dad at times too, and they're cool with that.
Is it just as simple as a new coach comes in, and you made it clear on this show a few months ago that Ben Lieber with us, that Kirk Cousins and Mike Zimmer didn't get along and Mike Zimmer didn't like Kirk Cousins? Is it just as simple as a new coaching staff gives this team a new sense of belief and that's why they're 8-1?
Yeah, I don't think it's that simple, but it certainly helps, you know. I think, you know, every new coaching change has an opportunity with a clean slate and to create a new culture, and every coach talks about that. And, you know, it's just been fortunate that this is a culture that the guys have bought into. And I don't think there's really one exact ingredient that went in that's like all of a sudden poof and it's completely different. You know, I think from the very start, you know, KOC had a plan. He was very confident in his plan and in his approach. The players bought into it, you know, pretty quickly. And obviously, when you start railing off some wins and you start proving that you are a resilient team, that's just going to build confidence. And then the buy-in to what the methodology is just going to go deeper and deeper. So, yeah, I know how wins can kind of do that. Sometimes they can make you sweep some things under the rug. But I think in this situation, it's full-on buy-in to their process and to their culture.
When it comes to Jim Harbaugh, we know that they were clearly talking. What, they had that 8-9 hour interview process that never ended in that one day. Were they ever close to hiring him?
I don't think so. You know, I think that there were some people. There were some people that I think really enjoyed his interview and they liked his personality and they liked his style. And then I heard there's equal parts that are like, no, you know, that's not really the direction we want to go. Nothing against him. It's just, you know, we want to go a little bit, you know, younger, a different sort of energy and a different vibe. So I don't think it was as close as maybe we thought at the time. But, you know, it was worth kicking the tires on and just see if he, you know, blew everybody out of the water. I mean, it was worth a try.
Hey, 8-1 is 8-1. You know, that Minnesota fan base, though, has been tortured throughout the years. Where's the confidence of the fan base right now?
You know, I think, you know, until... Honestly, Zach, until they actually hoist the Lombardi, I don't think that there's going to be a scenario where the fan base isn't just waiting for the other shoe to drop. I mean, I hate to say it like that. I just think that, you know, they've been tortured for so many years. They've had some teams that have just been absolutely electric, and you feel like, you know, they are the team to beat, and they get let down. So I understand it. I get it. I think the difference, though, is this year is the fan base really is – taking it like the team is, like sort of game by game. They're just like, hey, this is great. Let's just enjoy every single win and not look too far out. You know, I haven't heard anybody that's realistic about like, oh man, I'm buying my playoff tickets now, or I'm going to get my plane ticket to Arizona. Like, none of that stuff is happening. They're just, I think they're very honest about where the team is. they understand that even this weekend, they're like, hey, we're underdogs at home against Dallas. Like, we still have things to prove. So I kind of like the mentality where the fan base is now.
Where's your confidence level at, though, that this could be a Super Bowl team? Because for me, before this year started, I thought Ben Lieber, Minnesota was going to be a wild card team. I didn't think they'd win the division. Now they're clearly going to win the division. But with how open the NFL is this year, I kind of say, why not? Like, why can't they get to a Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously at the beginning of the year, we didn't know what the rest of the league was going to look like. But now that we've seen it, we've seen, you know, basically the best that the AFC has to offer. And we've, you know, played the other, you know, top contender in week two in Philadelphia. We're right there. Like, there's no reason to say that, you know, those teams are so much better than us or we don't deserve to be there. Like, absolutely, we have proven that this is a talented football team. We knew that going the season. They had a lot of talent on the roster. They just had to find that belief and that consistency. And I got to be honest with you, we really haven't found that consistency. Like, we're winning all these close games because they're making the plays when they need to make them. And that there is something to that. Like, you've got to do that as a championship team. But we haven't played consistent football. We haven't always stopped the run when we needed to. We haven't always picked up first downs when we need to. You know, the running game seems to be there sometimes, and then we go away from it. So I don't think that we've seen our best ball yet, and I think there's a lot of hope in that as well.
I will say, though, I think this week is a tricky spot for you guys. Coming off that big win, Dallas then coming off that game that they blew in the fourth quarter. What do you think decides it this weekend, Vikings hosting the Cowboys?
You know, I definitely think that the emotional part of it is going to play into it. Although, you know, we've just seen how this team can bounce back, and they really trust in sort of the recovery process. You know, we saw that when they came back from London. You know, the very next game, they had every right to kind of feel like a little bit of a lull, and they went out there and played really well and played with a lot of energy. So I think that they're going to come back and, you know, put this game to bed and get ready for Dallas. You know, I obviously think that, you know, establishing Dalvin Cook more and more is going to be a key part of this. And, you know, you've got to slow down that pass rush from Dallas. And that's number one. You know, we could be without Christian Darrisaw. And, you know, they start putting Micah Parsons and other rushers, you know, premier rushers on that left side of the offense, then that could be the recipe for them for success. So we got to slow them down, keep them on their heels, and let's see if we can find some offensive balance this game.
Through what you've seen through the first 10 weeks of the season, who's the team, Ben Lieber, that you trust the most in the NFL this year?
That I trust the most? I don't know, man. The team that we just played, I think, is still – I still think that, you know, even though they've had some hiccups, I think Buffalo is the most well-rounded team. You know, Philadelphia, to me, feels like – when we play them in week two, that's about as good as they're going to get. I think that's just kind of who they are. They kind of already peaked, I feel like, to me. And we got their best shot. I think Buffalo, when you look at it, you're always going to have this X factor, that is Josh Allen. You know, really good receivers. And that defense, you know, it's hard to find a team in this league that is so explosive offensively, but then their defense, when they get healthy and they get Poyer back, you know, that's going to be, you know, they're going to stay right up there in the top five in basically every category. So that, to me, is still probably the most balanced team right now.
I would say, yeah, they're still the most balanced team. But the team I trust the most is Kansas City. Just because in a year that's so open and how many young coaches you have, Reed and then having the best player in Mahomes, that's why I start to lean Kansas City. But Kansas City did lose to Buffalo this year.
Yeah, again, I don't trust Kansas City's defense. You know, as that one part of their – I think they can make some plays. They have some pass rushers. I get all that stuff. But I think consistently to stop the run and really be the aggressors on defense, I think they're opportunistic. I just don't really trust their defense as much as the Buffalo's.
By the way, the Vikings defense, we talked about that heading into the season. Za'Darius Smith, this offseason, people knew that was a good offseason move, but no one knew it was going to be one of the better offseason moves of this past year. Where's your confidence level with this Vikings defense or what you've seen to the first 10?
Well, I know that those guys can go out and make plays in critical moments. That's the
yeah.
big thing.
Especially Patrick Peterson. That dude's not old.
Especially Patrick Peterson. He's been unreal these last, you know, three or four games. But my confidence is growing and growing. You know, at the start of the season, I was a little leery just because we weren't getting after the quarterback. We were sticking to this idea that we were going to be a drop seven team and not have to blitz, in pressure with five and six guys. And that was a little concerning because I'm like, well, look, it's great if you can drop seven, but if your front four is not getting the job done, then we're going to have some issues. And that's gotten a lot better. And that's where I think my confidence is growing is they've stuck to the game plan from the very start of the season. They love that they can mix and match with some pass rushers up front. DJ Wanham's, you know, been a nice, you know, he's ascending in the right direction, training in the right direction with Patrick Jones, another young guy that's it's a good rusher that can spell Dalvin Tomlinson. When he is healthy, he is a monster on the inside. I can't believe a guy that big can be that quick and get that vertical. And then even Harrison Phillips in his kind of a revenge game against Buffalo, I think had eight or nine pressures himself. So our big guys who we rely on just to stop the run can stay in there on third down and give us some pressure. So this front four is getting a lot better. And so for that, I got a big growing confidence in this defense.
I'm also still surprised you guys were able to get Hockenson. I know you gave up, a nice price for it in draft compensation, but I was surprised that Detroit traded him in division to you guys.
I was too, man. He's already an absolute stud.
Especially in that offense with how many weapons you have. He's like a third or fourth option.
I know. That's the thing. Like he's always going to see single coverage. I mean, I can't imagine there'll be a lot of times where they're going to double cover him and then leave, Thielen and JJ and KJ Osborne, one-on-one on the outside or we do go five wide. So then you get Dalvin Cook split out as well. What are you going to do? And we speculated with that, the whole week when we picked him up, like how this offense is going to look. And then in his very first game, I think he had nine catches on nine targets. It was unreal. And like three or four chain moving plays. So he's an immediate impact player. He fits into this offense perfectly. And, kudos to him for picking up the offense so quickly.
Before we let you run, Ben Lieber, one college football question. At the end of the year, who's the four teams in the college football playoff, in your opinion?
Oh, let's see. Georgia. It's not going to be my K-State Wildcats because
– Had a good year, though.
TCU, I wasn't a believer at first, but, the way they went down to Texas and handled them, I think they can actually do it. So let's go those two teams.
Ohio State or Michigan?
Oh, yeah. Ohio State. Would they put Michigan in too? I don't know.
Probably Tennessee, I would think.
It's not going to be Alabama. It's not going to be – I don't think they're going to get two SEC teams in this year.
Well, here would be the big debate. Does Tennessee get in one loss, no SEC champion? Or if, let's just say, Pac-12 champ is USC, would they get in, even though USC doesn't have these real dominant victories this year?
Well, you know how this all works,
Tennessee,
right?
Yeah.
Well, actually, I mean,
But USC's a major brand.
I was going to go the other way, though. I was going to say, look, I think that people want to see Lincoln Riley, okay. I think they want to see this, dynamic offense that can, stretch the field and throw the ball down the field. So I don't know, man. I think if it came down to those two, I think they take USC.
Ben Lieber, always appreciate the time. Thanks so much. You're the best.
All right. Thanks, Zach.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to. So get started and download the free Odyssey app today.